The scripture this morning is found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who is born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the prophets, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. God bless his word to us.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. It's so good to see everybody today. I was actually expecting two rows full of people and that we'd have this little circle here. So I'm just really blessed that so many people are here. And I pray that we are all enriched and just wonderfully encouraged this morning as we worship together. It's Christmas morning is kind of a gathering around the fire, kind of a warm and cozy homecoming feeling. And so it's nice that we can be together as a church family, and that we can celebrate together. So it's lovely to be here with all of you on this Christmas morning. I remember a few years ago, we also had a Sunday morning Christmas, and it was just so delightful because we went Christmas Eve and we saw all of our friends, and then we came again on Christmas morning and saw all of our friends again. So it was a delight. And this, again, is a great delight for us, and we're very thankful. So did anybody, raise your hand if you have already received a gift today. A few of us have. Under our tree, we did have a gift from Santa, and it was very memorable. It was a Hello Kitty microphone, so a karaoke microphone, and it clapped. So it's going to be a great addition, so thank you, Santa, for that fabulous gift. It's pink, and it's this tall, so it will be greatly appreciated by everybody. So I'm going to share a few scriptures with us this morning that depict this gracious birthday, this celebration that we're having of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so special to have the stable up here. Thank you, Bud, for housing that for so long in your yard. It looks fabulous, and it also kind of gives us a backdrop for our message today, because our message really comes out of that stable, the stable of Christ's birth. It's so ironic, you know, to look at this and to say that our Lord, our risen Christ, our King, was born in a place such ramshackle and yuck as an outdoor stable that was sitting outside, never was inside, and never was fancy. The Hilton was full. The Super 8 down the road was full. The scary motel was full. And the Candy Cane Hotel was full. Does anyone remember the Candy Cane Hotel in Eastgate? That was full. So there was nothing available. at all. And I loved it at the pageant last week. The preschoolers said, "No room, no room." It was so cute until one girl finally pointed out the stable. So it says in Matthew 2:1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." They wanted to know where this King of the Jews was born. They were looking for the Hilton. They were thinking big thoughts. They knew there'd be a festival, and they wanted to join in the celebration. They brought gifts out of their wealth. They were ready to celebrate. Yet, they only found this. They only found a lowly baby with seemingly normal or possibly even poor parents. They worshiped the great King of Promise anyway. They worshiped. The stars were clear that it was this little one. They knew they had followed the star from afar, and they knew it was this little one in that place. God calls forth his miracle out of the simple and the poor and the dirty and the cold and the ordinary. That's where God calls out his miracle. Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." So there it is, a small, simple town, a place of no consequence. He wasn't born in D.C. He was born in Fall City. I called my sister this week, who's been to Bethlehem. Her name is Stephanie. And she said that Bethlehem is outside of Jerusalem and that it's actually a separate city. It's not like one smushed together city, kind of like a suburb, like a continuous suburb. And today she said that Bethlehem is an enclave of Palestinian Christians. And this group of Palestinian Christians goes back 2,000 years. And they've lived there and are protected by the fact that this is a Christian site. This important Christian site in Bethlehem is now a tourist destination, as you'd expect. So Stephanie was excited to talk about this. And she was excited to visit this place. Has anyone else been to Bethlehem? Just out of curiosity, a few of us have. Great. And she not only was pointing out that this is, that the birth of Christ has transformed this spot, but that it also has created a hedge around these believers that have believed for 2,000 years in Christ, that they are protected there. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Christ is fulfilling this vision today, December 25th, 2016. He is a reigning king, and he's no longer a baby. He grew up. Little Jesus is resurrected and is reigning now in the throne room of the Most High God. This is such a humble beginning for the Most High God. But this is a resurrection sermon that I preach from an empty tomb. Out of the tomb, he arose to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Yet the manger draws us to our humble beginnings and leads us to our desperate need for God. God's reigning kingdom reaches out to our brokenness today. He speaks to our own places of inadequacy and pain, failure, insecurity. He speaks to our rage, our heartbreak, our grief and our loss, our discouragement, even our loneliness, the chaos that we feel, and our imperfections. This is unlike the perfect Christmas gift. On a side note, my mother gave me this sweater and scarf last Christmas, and it truly was the perfect Christmas gift. So thank you, Mother. I had to wear it today. Anyway, God does not need us to be perfect, unlike the perfect Christmas gift. He reached down from heaven and loves us just the way we are. He notices us and uses our weakness for his glory. He may even make those places of brokenness into a strength. So I'm going to read a book to you on this Christmas morn called The Crippled Lamb. Once upon a time, in a sunny valley, there lived a little lamb named Joshua. He was white with black spots and black feet and sad eyes. Josh felt sad when he saw the other lambs with snow-white wool and no spots. He felt sad when he saw the other sheep with their moms and dads, because he didn't have a mom or a dad. But he felt saddest when he saw the other lambs running and jumping, because he couldn't. Josh had been born with one leg that didn't work right. He was crippled. He always limped when he walked. That is why he always watched while the other lambs ran and played. Josh felt sad and alone, except when Abigail was around. Abigail was Josh's best friend. She didn't look like a friend for a lamb. She was an old cow. She was brown with white blotches that looked like rain puddles on a path. Her belly was as round as a barrel, and her voice was always kind and friendly. Some of Josh's favorite hours were spent with Abigail. They loved to pretend that they were on adventures in distant lands. Josh liked to listen to Abigail tell stories about the stars. They would spend hours on the hill, looking into the valley. They were good friends. But even with friends like Abigail, Josh still got sad. It made him so sad to be the only lamb who could not run and jump and play in the grass. That's when Abigail would turn to him and say, "Don't be sad, little Joshua. God has a special place for those who feel left out." He'd say, "Don't be sad, little Joshua. God has a special place for those who feel left out." Josh wanted to believe her, but it was hard. Some days he just felt alone. He really felt alone the day the shepherds decided to take the lambs to the next valley while there was more grass. The sheep had been in this valley so long, the ground was practically bare. All the sheep were excited when the shepherd told them they were going to a new meadow. As they prepared to leave, Josh hobbled over and took his place on the edge of the group. But the others started laughing at him. "You're too slow to go all the way up to the next valley." "Go back, you slowpoke. We'll never get there if we have to wait for you." "Go back, Joshua." That's when Josh looked up and saw the shepherd standing in front of him. They are right, my little Joshua. You'd better go back. This trip is too long for you. Go and spend the night in the stable. Joshua looked at the man for a long time. Then he turned slowly and began to limp away. When Josh got to the top of the hill, he looked down and saw all the other sheep headed towards the green grass. Never before had he felt so left out. A big tear slipped out of his eye, rolled down his nose, and fell on a rock. Just then he heard Abigail behind him, and Abigail said what she always said when Josh felt sad. She said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be sad, little Joshua. God has a special place for those who feel left out." Slowly, the two friends turned and walked to the stable together. By the time they got to the little barn, the sun was setting like a big orange ball. Josh and Abigail went inside and began to eat some hay out of the feed box. They were very hungry, and the hay tasted good. For a little while, Joshua forgot that he'd been left behind. "Go to sleep, my friend," Abigail said after they finished eating. "You've had a hard day." Josh was tired, so he lay down in the corner on some straw and closed his eyes. He felt Abigail lie down beside him, and he was glad to have Abigail as a friend. Soon, Josh was asleep. At first, he slept soundly, curled up against Abigail's back. In his sleep, he dreamed. He dreamed of running and jumping just like the other sheep. He dreamed of long walks with Abigail through the valley. He dreamed of being in a place where he never felt left out. Suddenly, he heard strange noises that woke him up. "Abigail," he whispered, "wake up, I'm scared." Abigail lifted her big head and looked around. The stable was dark except for a small lamp hanging on the wall. "Somebody's in here," Josh whispered. They looked across the dimly lighted stable. There, lying on some fresh hay in the feed box, was a baby. A young woman was resting on a big pile of hay beside the feed box. Joshua looked at Abigail, thinking his friend could tell him what was going on, but Abigail was just as surprised as Josh. Josh looked again at the woman and the child, then limped across the stable. He stopped next to the mother and looked into the baby's face. The baby was crying. He was cold. The woman picked up the baby and put him on the hay next to her. Josh looked around the stable for something to keep the baby warm. Usually there were blankets, but not tonight. The shepherds had taken them on their trip across the valley, so they didn't get cold. Then Josh remembered his own soft, warm wool. Timidly, he walked over and curled up close to the baby. "Thank you, little lamb," the baby's mother said softly. Soon the little child stopped crying and went back to sleep. About that time, a man entered the stable carrying some rags. "I'm sorry, Mary," he explained. "This is all the cover I could find." "It's okay," she answered. "This little lamb has kept the new king warm." "A king?" Joshua looked at the baby and wondered. Joshua looked at the king and wondered who he might be. "His name is Jesus," Mary spoke as if she knew Josh's question. "God's son. He came from heaven to teach us about God." So that's what Mary said back. "He's God's son. He came from heaven to teach about God." Just then, there was another noise at the door. It was the shepherds. They came back. The ones who had left Joshua behind. Their eyes were big and they were excited. "We saw a bright light and heard the angels," they began. Then they saw Joshua next to the baby. "Joshua, do you know who this baby is?" "He does now." It was the young mother who was speaking. She looked at Joshua and smiled. "God has heard your prayers, little lamb. This little baby is the answer." Joshua looked down at the baby. Somehow he knew this was a special child and this was a special moment. He also understood why he had been born with a crippled leg. Had he been like the other sheep, he would have been in the valley. But since he was different, he was in the stable among the first to welcome Jesus into the world. Joshua turned and walked back to Abigail and took his place beside his friend. "You were right," he told her. "God does have a special place for me." Every one of us has something to share, something to do to serve the Lord as 2016 comes to an end. Each one of us is walking in a divine appointment, a God-inspired appointment with the Holy Spirit guiding us. Just like Josh was enabled to go to the next meadow, we also have been held back. We have been guided and we've been moved in a direction. Maybe we've been discouraged or even had our dreams or our comfort zone or everything that seems normal to us come to a halt and change everything. God calls forth the miracles of Jesus out of the insignificant and broken places within us. Jesus speaks to our own places of pain, our own places of inadequacy, failure, insecurity, heartbreak, rage, grief and loss. He speaks to our grief and loss and our discouragement, our loneliness, the chaos that we're experiencing and imperfections. Unlike a perfect Christmas gift, God does not need us to be perfect. For it is when we are weak, God is strong. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. So most of you have a little piece of white cardstock paper. And just as a little opportunity to kind of process and ponder what God is doing in your own life at the close of 2016 and on this beautiful Christmas morning, I want to invite you to write down one way that God has used your weakness for his glory in the past year. Kind of like little Josh. And you can also write one way that you anticipate God will work through you in 2017. And I was kind of dreaming that if there's children here, that they could draw a picture on their piece of paper. So, and then I was thinking, when you're done, why don't you come put it in this box? Because we know now that our God, he is a risen king, and he reigns in the heavenlies, and he is high and lifted up. And so we can put it in the empty box. This does remind us, though, the way he descended. He came all the way from the highest place to the lowliest place, to the dirtiest place, and the coldest place. It's hard to imagine. So go ahead and get started. Just write something down. I have the directions up on the screen. And you can write those down, or if you're a child, you can go ahead, and I'm going to give you a couple minutes, and Haley is going to play, and feel free to bring them forward when you're done. The lamb was lame. The lamb was left out. The lamb lacked adventure, but God used that little Josh anyway. Some of our greatest ministries and faith come out of our places of inadequacy and brokenness in our lives. So let's reflect and ask how God is showing us more about this on this Christmas morning.